From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. Our focus in this message is Paul's epistle to the Galatians. Although Galatians contains only 6 chapters, it is one of the sharpest books that Paul wrote. Here he contends for the purity of the gospel against those who sought to bring believers in Christ back under the Jewish ceremonial law, thus adding human works to the finished work of Christ on the cross. Paul denounced such an adulteration of the gospel in no uncertain terms, emphasizing that true believers were to have no fellowship with such deceivers. In the course of Galatians, Paul emphasized that free grace is the vital principle of the only gospel of salvation God has ever revealed to us. This is the gospel that he had received from God himself, and it had totally changed his life. It is a gospel that entirely repudiates human merit or works as having any part in salvation. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this overview of Galatians under the title, Standing Fast in Gospel Liberty. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the writings of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is called No Fear of Death. The text is found in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. The first death we must endure, unless the Lord should suddenly come to his temple. For this let us abide in readiness, awaiting it without fear, since Jesus has transformed death from a dreary cavern into a passage leading to glory. The thing to be feared is not the first, but the second death, not the parting of the soul from the body, but the final separation of the entire man from God. This is death indeed. This death kills all peace, joy, happiness, hope. When God is gone, all is gone. Such a death is far worse than ceasing to be. It is existence without the life which makes existence worth the having. Now, if by God's grace we fight on to the end and conquer in the glorious war, no second death can lay its chill finger upon us. We shall have no fear of death and hell, for we shall receive a crown of life which fadeth not away. How this nerves us for the fight! Eternal life is worth a life's battle. To escape the hurt of the second death is a thing worth struggling for throughout a lifetime. Lord, give us faith, so that we may overcome, and then grant us grace to remain unharmed, though sin and Satan dog our heels. Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
There are many issues over which Paul would say, look, there is nothing that is going to hurt the church. There is nothing that is going to wreck our testimony. There is nothing that touches the heart of the gospel. So let us all seek the will of God and walk in the light of God's revelation to us. But on this issue, Paul says, there is no room for compromise. And on this issue, he would say, I will withstand anybody. Even when Peter came to Antioch in Syria, the base of all Paul's missionary activity, when Peter came there preaching the very same gospel that Paul preached, but nonetheless, by his behavior, when certain of these Judaizers came down from Jerusalem, by his behavior, by withdrawing himself from the Gentiles, making them second-class citizens, not being willing to eat with them, in case he would come under the censure of these legalistic Jews. When Peter did that, Paul withstood him to the face. Paul's co-worker and his closest friend at that time was Barnabas. And even Barnabas was scared into submission by these Jews. But Paul withstood Barnabas to the face. You see, this is a matter that is so vital to the gospel that Paul the Apostle would have been willing, and this is a very big statement, but it's true, Paul would have been willing to separate even from the Apostle Peter. He would have been willing to separate from Barnabas, his friend and co-worker, because they were in some way detracting from this great truth of justification by free grace through faith without works, Christ's merit alone being the ground of our acceptance with God. You know, there can never be fellowship between light and darkness. There can never be fellowship between heaven and hell, between God and the devil, between truth and outright error. There can never be fellowship between the gospel and the perversion of the gospel. Those who are preaching the devil's gospel, that Paul is here opposing, those who are preaching a mixture of law and grace to get people to heaven, are not people with whom we are to have fellowship. They are people with whom we are to have no fellowship and we are to oppose. That was true in apostolic times. It was true in the times of the great Protestant Reformation. That Reformation will be the theme of our messages this month in the Sunday evening services. And once again, we will come to see that there the apostolic theme of justification by free grace through faith was established, and it led to separation from the Church of Rome. It is still the great issue today. Now let me make this clear. I am a separatist. My separatism has got a bad name in these days because it has become very... I got a paper in from an independent Baptist church. And it was blasting independent Baptists who are fundamentalists. Why? Because they will have fellowship with other fundamentalists who are not independent Baptists. So the issue of separation is whether you're an independent Baptist or not. That is not the biblical ground of separation. The ground of separation is not whether you're a Presbyterian or whether you're a Baptist. The ground of separation is not the length that you cut your hair. No, mind you, the way some women cut their hair nowadays, they should be ashamed of themselves, I think, according to 1 Corinthians 11. I don't think that Christian women should love to have their head practically shaved to look as much like a man as they can get, but that's another subject. But that's not the issue of separation. The issue of separation is not even what your taste in music is. The issue of separation is focused on the person and work of Jesus Christ. The issue of separation is the great heart of the gospel. And I would say where the gospel is being fully stood for and proclaimed in all its pristine purity and biblical fullness, we would have a hard job establishing from Scripture that we ought to have no fellowship with those who are taking that stand. You'd have a very hard job proving that from Scripture. This is what the issue is. It is the issue of the gospel. And that's what makes this epistle to the Galatians such an important book. I want us to look at it today. I'll take the broadest sweep of a theme through it, and we'll talk this morning about salvation by grace as the only true gospel. Now, for those of you who like to have an outline of the book, I can give you it very simply. Six chapters, they fall into three twos. First two are personal narrative. The second two chapters are a doctrinal argument. And the final two chapters are a practical exhortation. Now, that's a basic analysis, outline, not in detail. That's an outline. And that's the end of it. I'm not going to deal with the outline at all this morning. You see, we're not trying to analyze this book. As in all the other cases, we're trying to get the heart message. And it's the message of free grace being the only true gospel. Now, I have 4 points. I know that will scare the life out of many of you. For they say, if he preached an hour on 3 points, what's he going to do on 4 points? Well, don't need to be a mathematician to work it out. I'll preach for 2 hours. Let's start. Number one, free grace. This is what Paul is teaching here. Free grace is the vital principle of God's only gospel of salvation. That's the first great point in this book. Free grace is the vital principle of the only gospel of salvation. Point number two. This gospel of free grace is the charter of Christian liberty. And I hope to be able to get to that this morning. Point number three. This gospel of grace, which gives us our liberty, is under constant threat. And that leads to the final point, that therefore, chapter 5, verse 1, we must stand fast in gospel liberty and refuse the yoke of bondage. Now that is the outline. And if I don't get through it, you've got the whole sermon in your head and you can carry it home and work it out in detail. We're going to start at the beginning. Free grace is the vital principle of God's only gospel of salvation. Now, chapter 1, obviously, is the basis of the whole book. And here the Apostle Paul is at pains to point out certain things. Number one, he's pointing out that this message that he's preaching was not his message at all. He didn't dream it up. You know, I read these books by great scholars and they talk about Paul's religious genius, Paul's theological genius, as if Paul made all this up. Now, Paul was a genius, no doubt about that. He had a tremendous mind. But this gospel was not evolved by the Apostle Paul out of his own mind. This gospel didn't come to Paul through Peter. It didn't come to Paul through any other man. He said that he didn't receive it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ, verse 12 of chapter 1. You see, he's saying, this gospel is not mine. It's God's gospel. It comes directly from the Lord. Another point he's at pains to point out in verse 13 of chapter 1 is that this gospel had utterly and totally changed his own life. He begins to give us testimony. He said, I used to be a Jew. Beyond measure as a Jew, I persecuted the church of God. I wasted it. I profited in the Jews' religion above many who were my equals. I was more exceedingly zealous of Jewish traditions than they were. But look at verse 15. What a statement of grace. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. You notice that? It pleased God at a particular point in my life, says Paul, to reveal his son in me. He called me by his grace. Paul's saying, this gospel has utterly changed my life. I went to the city of Damascus a Jew. I left the city of Damascus a Christian. I went there a hater of Christ. I came back a lover of Christ. When I was riding there at the noonday time, upon my horse as a proud and arrogant enemy, I thought I could see everything. But Christ blinded me with his glory, and I realized I could see nothing until by grace I could see the face of Christ. And there, Paul's testimony was, he was converted by the free grace of God. Now, I want to tell you something. When a man has an experience of full, free, sovereign, saving grace in its all-sufficient fullness, that man will be totally intolerant of any gospel that denigrates the grace of God. When you get people who are talking about salvation by works and doing the best they can and all the rest of it, you are dealing with people who obviously have never felt what Paul felt. When Paul felt the grace of God, works were finished with as a means of salvation. And so he was intolerant entirely of the notion of human merit. This wasn't for him an aspect of the truth. It wasn't his view of the gospel. No, it was the whole gospel. That's why in the verses I read, verse 8 and then into verse 9 of chapter 1, he gives this very strong denunciation. He says, if anybody preaches anything else, let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. Let him perish in hell. Now, that's a strong statement. In this ecumenical age, that's a wee bit too extreme. I mean, you really couldn't look at an archbishop, for instance, and say, let him go to hell. Could you really say that? Could you think of an Albert Schweitzer or a Desmond Tutu? The very name would make you laugh. Could you think of these people whom the world worships as men of great social conscience? And I deliberately take an Albert Schweitzer, a European, and Tutu, an African, to show you. It doesn't matter where you come from in the world. They're from different church backgrounds, different cultures, but they preach the same gospel. The same gospel, salvation by works. Salvation by... Could you honestly say, let him be anathema? Albert Schweitzer is practically worshipped in Europe to this day. Practically worshipped. But that's not what the Bible says about him. The Bible says, let him be anathema. The man that denies the atoning virtue and value of the work of Christ, let him be anathema. Oh, that's extreme, but why is it extreme? Well, I'll tell you why it's extreme. Go back to verse 4, and you'll find that Paul made these extreme statements because he was moved by a great love for Christ. He speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Here's why Paul could make those extreme statements, because he says, listen, here's the real gospel.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening. and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.